Green Mountain Chronicles number 6, The KKK in Vermont.
Oh, the Klan, oh, the Klan. It calls on every red blood fighting man. If you are free and white and bigot, and
you just had to swear to, I think it was 10 things. One was that you were non-Catholic, that you were an American, and you had to pay $10. Seems that was the main focus, was getting the $10.
1924, and the Ku Klux Klan, experiencing a nationwide revival, begins a membership drive in Vermont. It soon gains a foothold in several Vermont communities, as Maudine Neal of Montpelier discovered after finding an old photograph of a 1927 Montpelier Klan gathering.
They would bring people into their meetings, and for $10 they could become a member, and they would have gatherings, speeches, good times, they said, parades. The Klan itself had a purpose of promoting white non-Catholic people. They were against the Negroes in the South. They were against Catholics and foreigners here in New England. They burned a lot of crosses. The people who were in it said that it was fun to have a burning cross and everybody gather under it and sing. Sometimes they were burned to scare people, just for sensationalism, I suppose. There was an account here in Montpelier of 7 crosses being burned at the same time. One was at the Catholic Church, and that one apparently damaged some of the church. So there was a lot of anti-Klan ideas the next day about that.
Resistance to the Klan's presence in Vermont took a number of forms. In Montpelier, an anti-Klan group, the Knights of the Flaming Circle, was organized. The town of Rutland outlawed parades or meetings in the streets by hooded or masked individuals or organizations. A Burlington ordinance prohibited the wearing of masks in public. At least one Vermont town was divided by the Klan, as former Governor Dean Davis recalls.
It happened right over in West Topsom, Vermont. There were 4 brothers. 2 of them were Ku Klux Klanners and 2 of them were not. And you were either loyal to Joe and Jim or you were loyal to Harry and Fred. That's not their correct names. And it just tore that little town apart. It tore the church apart. It tore the town government apart, and the social life, whatever there was of it, it tore that apart, too.
The press also generally opposed the Klan.
They would write articles about how we didn't need the Klan, and they usually would ridicule the Klan. They said that we didn't need people in Vermont who were against any segment of the population. We didn't need, as they said, bed sheet people, secret societies.
Still, national Klan officials claimed 10,000 members in Vermont in the early 1920s. Others put the number closer to 2,000 for the entire period of 1915 to 44. In any case, the Vermont Klan peaked in the 20s, and by 1927, membership was in decline.
The main thing that hurt them was the money. The leaders were collecting a lot of money. Apparently the leaders were using it for their own use. It was supposed to be to run the group or to go to headquarters to keep up a headquarters.
The Klan was also hurt by the conviction of several members for a break-in at St. Michael's Cathedral of the Immaculate Conception in Burlington.
Some Klansmen went into the cathedral at night and stole some things. One man was telling another man that there was ammunition stored there, there was guns and that kind of thing, and they were drinking at the time. But most of it was when the people here could see that it was telling them to be prejudiced against people that they had always befriended.
In Vermont, the last significant activity by the Ku Klux Klan was the rainy July 4, 1927 rally, frozen in time in the photograph found by Maudine Neal.